All rise for the Honorable Judge Andrews of the 69th Giggity Circuit Court.
Please be seated. Today we are hearing the case of Alshon of the Dead, formerly known, though not officially recognized, as Huli No, versus the people of Go Big or Go Home. Prosecution, please state your case.
Thank you, Your Honor. And may I say that you look dashingly handsome this morning.
Objection. That's inappropriate flattery.
Overruled. I'm feeling a bit down today after an especially devastating fantasy loss, so I could use the compliment. Prosecution, please continue.
Well, Your Honor, I may add, your hair looks perfectly coiffed.
Come on, he meant continue about the case.
Did you mean my hair is perfectly coiffed?
I know what I said. Anyway, the members of Go Big or Go Home allege that Alshon of the Dead made an asinine trade with...
Objection, Your Honor. That's leading language.
Sustained. Emphasizing the ass in asinine feels a little bit harsh. And remember, since you lost the first objection, you will not be granted a third objection, just like the NFL coaches with the challenges. Prosecution, please rephrase.
As I was saying, members of Go Big or Go Home allege that Alshon of the Dead made a poor trade with the Schefter source involving Mark Ingram and Jerick McKinnon. Further, Go Big or Go Home feels that this trade was extremely lopsided in the favor of Schefter source.
Thank you. Defense, please state your case.
Thank you, Your Honor. My client, Alshon of the Dead, has excellent reasons for making this trade. I will list several key reasons. Alshon of the Dead was the previous owner of Dalvin Cook, who was having a tremendous season up until this injury, so he was very familiar with the Vikings' production. My client felt that the Vikings could support a high production back based on the high-level play through the season up until that point. Although Latavius Murray was second on the depth chart at that time, it appeared that McKinnon was used more and more efficient with his touches. McKinnon also had a huge game after Cook was injured. It is perfectly reasonable to believe that McKinnon had the potential to be long-term high production back for the Vikings. Those are our primary arguments.
Thank you. Prosecution, your rebut?
Did you just call me a butt after I complimented you earlier?
Oh, no. This is your chance to offer a rebuttal.
Oh, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, handsome judge, we all heard the defense say things like could and had potential. You know who else had potential? Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf, Christine Michael. That's right. McKinnon previously had ample opportunities to be a star, but wasted them all. He flashes brightly, then fades quickly. Jerick McKinnon is nothing but a new version of Christine Michael, a wasted opportunity. Todd should have known that. I rest my case.
Defense? Anything? No? Okay. Thank you both for your statements. I will call a short recess to make my decision.
All rise for the court's decision.
The 69th Giggity Circuit Court finds in favor of the prosecution. Ingram had a much more secure track record than McKinnon. Also, Ingram has outscored McKinnon by like 800 points since the trade. Tyler, you got bamboozled.
Week 13 of the Go Big or Go Home Fantasy Football Podcast. Joining me today, I have Jared, Good to the Last Drop Andrews, Brandon, Got Milk Skolick, and John, These Aren't the Droids You're Looking For, Walsh. We're very excited to have John. This is his first year, or his first podcast this year, I should say.
So, he plays like it's his first year.
So I guess that kind of leads into how you feeling, John, so far about the year. We've got our last regular season matchup this week.
Yeah, hey guys, good to be on. Not been a great year, needless to say. sitting in ninth, but do have the most points scored against, so I guess that makes you feel a little bit better, but not really. It's been a rough year. Really had an absolute must win last week. Put up a good game, but Tyler just went out of his freaking mind. So, you know, and then we're looking at Blake next week. So I am getting my team ready for the toilet bowl. And besides that, it's you know, it's always fun.
Yeah, this week should be interesting. We've got a lot of potential. We've got some weird playoff scenarios to go through here, I should say. A lot of people still alive.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We knew that coming, you know, as we've been looking at this since, what, like week 6, 7, that there's going to be a lot of teams that we're going to have, you know, subpar records, but be able to get in there. So it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of parity this year. I mean, you know, Brandon and Blake and Gunther wouldn't know it, but down here, and I guess Mathis too, but, you know, bottom five, it's been the Wild West every single week. You know, a win or a loss changes a lot for your team.
Well, right. Well, and you mentioned Mathis, but to be honest, yeah, he looks comfortable now, but with that little skid, and we keep bringing up, and he'll make fun of me when he hears this, because he says I bring it up all the time, and I don't care, I'm playing him this week, so screw you. But, you know, a little mishap on playing Fournette when he wasn't playing, it felt like he was down and out too for a while, so it was almost like there were seven teams down there. At that Wild West that you talked about, but now he's kind of submerged himself as that fourth, and he has that asterisk next to his name that means he's in the playoffs, so now we're down to six.
Yeah, that week that he did that, I won by 2 points, so if he hadn't done that, it's likely I wouldn't be in six right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so before we get into it, is there any news that we want to mention around the league?
We had the Crabtree, which means a lot for you and I, Sam, as we had that trade news a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You gave me Crabtree, I gave you Dez. Crabtree was suspended for 2 games, as well as Tlaib from the Denver Broncos, but that suspension was moved down to 1 game, which is fortunate because that means I don't have to miss Crabtree for the playoffs.
Right, that would have been a big deal to have to miss that first playoff game.
Absolutely.
Oh, and then there's the obvious, you know, benching Eli, which I think took us all by surprise. I mean,
that's a weird situation. I mean, the Giants have been struggling, obviously, all year, but, like, if you have, I mean, I guess, I don't know if that affects, like, the running backs, like Orland Starkwell or Evan Ingram. I'm sure it will, but who knows? I mean, Geno,
Yeah, when you have Geno throwing the ball, it's going to affect a lot of things. They do go against a weak defense in the Oakland. Oakland Raiders have been struggling, but I don't know. It's just, and the more I hear about it, the more I just notice that the Giants' front office is dysfunctional. Like, there's some stuff leaking out that the GM and owner told McAdoo that, like, late in games, if the Giants are out of it, either way, like, they're winning or they're losing by a lot, pull Eli. McAdoo took it as in, like, by halftime, that's what he communicated with Eli, and basically Eli was like, I'm not going to play like this, I'm backtracking, I'll be benched. He's handling it in the most classy way possible to anger any Giants fan or any fan of the Manny family in general. It's a messed up situation.
Well, you mentioned the dysfunction. There's a headline right now that says, the Giants are open to in-season Ben McAdoo firing.
You don't say.
It's not something you want to hear as the coach.
You're going
to
be fired.
We're open to firing him.
Win.
That's so funny that you said that, Jared, because I was literally about to say, you have to imagine he's sweating a little bit.
Job status is week to week, according to a report. So
wow.
It's coming soon.
That's funny.
Jeez. I don't know why it hasn't happened yet.
I'm with you.
But I don't know. I guess it's funny for me because, like, I'm getting more emotional than about it. Like, I just am a little angered. And it's not like I've been an Eli fan for, like, a huge Eli fan. But back when I used to hate the Patriots, now I've come to love them. they were the guys that would take him down. You know, Eli was part of that, so it was always a big, big thing for me. And to see guys like Brandon Marshall be like, I wish I was better for you this year, and, you know, knowing that Shepard hasn't been there for him, Beckham hasn't been there for him. He's had a lost locker room, I feel like. It's a shame to go out like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's just weird. I mean, regardless of what you think about Eli, if you think he's a Hall of Famer or not or whatever, but, I mean, he brought two Super Bowls there.
Yeah.
So you'd think that they'd exactly. give at least some level of decorum or respect on the way out. It's just kind of...
Yeah, not only did he bring two Super Bowls, but he's played every single game since you drafted him.
Yeah. You mean since San Diego drafted him?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, as in since his rookie year. But
yeah.
And yeah, it's all confusing to me. I've heard some local guys be like, oh, after this, like, there's no way he makes the Hall of Fame. He's going to go down as the only guy that's ever won two Super Bowls and not make the Hall of Fame. And I'm like, whoa, 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 pump your brakes.
Yeah. I think he'll get in.
I do, too. I hope he does.
I mean, he has two Super Bowl MVPs. It's not that he just went to the Super Bowl and barely won by the defense or something. I mean, he had two Super Bowl MVPs.
Well,
so.
That's kind of what happened. But
I mean, yeah, but still.
Yeah, he's definitely put up, you know, good numbers. I mean, he'll be remembered for inconsistency because that's how the Giants have been.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's going to be remembered as the quarterback that took over for Jacksonville and brought them to the playoffs.
Yeah. Although they might make the playoffs this year.
He's going to bring them back again.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, Brandon, do you want to give us a quick recap of last week's action?
I would, if you give me 1 second. Alright. Where do we start? Let's start with John, like he spoke of his matchup. This is a tough one for you. This was a, you know, pave your own destiny type matchup where if John were to beat Tyler, he would have put himself in a very good situation to make the playoffs. And John did not disappoint himself by scoring more points. He actually would have beat almost half the league. He would have only lost to four teams this week, but he ended up playing Tyler, who literally scored three times the amount of points he had scored as of late. So that was the hand you get drawn sometimes. And so John moves down to ninth place with that loss. But like we said, things are going to shake up here. So let's move to that next matchup where Sam Rapp also gets a win. So he looked down and out with that 3-8 record, but he also gets a win against Kevin's team, who Kevin just doesn't want to win anymore. He doesn't like playoffs. He'd rather sink in the toilet bowl. So he kind of opened the door up. And when the door is opened, somebody has to enter it, and that's Sam Hayes. Sam Hayes, you know, we've talked about him on the show. We've shared his sorrows. He's been down. He's been out. And holy crap, what? Now he's a 6 seed. And he, with a win, will be in the playoffs. I'm telling you right now, Sam Hayes controls his own destiny to be in the playoffs. Mr. 193, and we know what that means, 193 on David Johnson, weak wrist, sink shifts, is in the playoffs right now. He wins. He's in. What a Cinderella story. We're all looking forward to looking at that one. He beats Gunther's team, who drops down to second because Blake beats Brandon. He pummels the heck out of him. Blake has actually scored 137 more points in two matchups against Brandon's team, who's in third. So they shouldn't be that bad, but yet Brandon throws a stinker. Blake always throws his best game against Brandon. The rest is history on that. Brings us to the last matchup. It was Jared in his last gasp to try to make the playoffs, and Mathis, who wanted to secure his fourth, maybe third if he can get a win this week against Brandon, and he takes him down 130-105, so the Losers Club finally fits into that nickname. I told him time and time again to change that name because eventually it'll come back around to you.
Whoa, wait, what? It's the first time hearing of this.
No. It was in the recap. I said maybe you need a new name once you're winning.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, listen. So I've jinxed another team. Change it just for this week and win and be in the playoffs.
Okay, well, what do I change it to?
Win. Period.
Just win, baby.
Wasn't that Blake's team at one point?
You know what you should name your team? And that's the end of my recap, but let me tell you what you should name your team. You know when, W-I-N, I'm here.
Yeah. Please do it, Jared, because I feel really superstitious about name changes in the season. We know what happened to Tyler when he changed his name. He proceeded to lose like 20 in a row.
It
so.
Doesn't work. But my current name hasn't worked that well either. So.
Come on, Jared. You know you don't want to mess up this Cinderella story.
Of course I do. I want to get in the playoffs. If I beat you and Kevin loses, I'm in.
Yeah, but Jared, that's not a story you're going to tell your grandchildren.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I mean, Jared's team didn't look that strong after the draft either, because he was... Well, and also, the two quarterbacks he drafted have been abysmal, so...
Yep.
One hasn't played, and the other one, when he played, sucked, and then... But you guys mentioned something about playoff scenarios. Let's get into that a little bit. I don't know if somebody is... out there. Did you guys look at it? I mean, I'm in the playoffs, so I didn't really barely look. Yeah. What can happen?
Pretty simple. Sam Hayes, if he wins and puts up a reasonable point total, he's more than likely in. Because he and Kevin both have the same record. So if they both win, Kevin would have to outscore Sam by 42 points to pass him.
So it's that's unlikely. That's how Kevin gets in. So basically, Sam wins and he's in. Almost certainly.
Yes.
Right. Unless Kevin puts up a gaudy total. The other teams that could get in, I could get in if I beat Sam and if Kevin loses. And, I mean, I'm pretty far total, so I would pass him up. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if I beat Sam, I'm going to maintain my point total lead over him. And the other possibilities, Sam Rapp, I guess, technically could get in, but he needs a lot of luck and a 200 point scoring day.
And everyone else to score like 20.
Yeah. And then John, I would have to win against Sam. Kevin would have to lose, and then John would have to outscore me by whatever it is, 40 something points.
And wouldn't Rap also have to beat Alshon?
No, I mean it doesn't matter. Tyler could stay in fifth place for John to get the sixth seed.
But if
Tyler's pretty safe.
It is possible that Tyler could get pushed out if he loses.
Tyler could.
If both Kevin and Sam win, and Kevin would have to win big.
Yeah, right. Kevin would have to win enormous. I just have really to score big. More than like 30 points more than Tyler. But, yeah. Kevin would have to outscore him by 70 points.
I think it's tough, for Tyler to get bumped out now.
Stranger things have happened.
Wow, this is nuts, boys. All I know is I'm going to sleep all right Sunday night.
Sunday's my birthday, too, Jared. If you beat me on my birthday, I'm going to be even more pissed.
Oh, that'd be so great.
The thing that sucks is, like, this week right now is my no-sweat week, and then I'll see where it all falls, and then I'm going to be sweating. Because I feel like even though Mathis and I bode better records, we're just as lumped in as you guys. It's us versus the world, and the world is Gunther
and Blake.
Hey, I mean, I did smack Gunther this week, so it can happen.
Yeah, that's true. Just need Kamara to keep stealing carries, but not when I play Mathis.
I got Blake this week, and kid's beatable.
Well, you know, not only that, John, but he's beatable against subpar opponents. You know, I guess not. He lost to Gunther, I guess, but he did lose to Matt and Mathis. So never mind. He only lost to Raph. That's subpar. Take that back. He's just subpar individual. Blake is, as I just want to play him in the championship. And the other day, I'm talking to Blake, and this is some insider knowledge. But I was talking to Blake, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I kind of have my destiny. I could choose the 3 or the 4 seed. You know, I could play a few questionable bench guys, maybe go for, you know, kind of go for something big, but if I lose, I take the 4 seed. He's like, no, don't do that. I want to see you in the championship. I'm like, oh, better pick on me.
Man, Blake has the highest point total by a lot, by almost 100 points.
And he hasn't even had Zeke for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. All right, well, let's just get into the matchups then. Kind of mentioned, we touched on him basically, but
we kind of highlighted him a little bit.
Look at him a little bit more in depth. I don't spend too much time on it. Let's see. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the dead men and the sick guys. Chronic bronchitis versus All Shaun of the Dead.
All right. Clash of the Titans. All right. Looking at Sam
Tyler, they're starting superstar Phillip Rivers again.
Yeah, against...
Fresh off his ridiculous game.
Yeah, at Cleveland, too.
He's in for a feast after his Thanksgiving feast.
You know what, though? Like, any more of this like Cleveland matchup, like, it's like, is that good? I mean, you don't have to do as much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's like, you kind of look for those shootouts that I like. Like, for instance,
Vikings at the Falcons.
What was I gonna say? Yeah, exactly. Not Vikings at the Falcons, but Seattle at the Falcons. This week?
Well, this week it's Vikings. It's the Eagles at
it's
Seattle
Vikings
this
Atlanta
week.
This week, yeah.
You're right. Eagles at Seattle. That matchup, I'm sorry, you're right. Eagles at Seattle. That matchup, good luck if you have Russell Wilson or if you have Carson Wentz, feel lucky because that's going to be a shootout.
What if you have a tight end and a receiver from one of those teams?
You should feel good too. And Ertz, isn't Ertz just impressive? I mean, look what he did to the Bears.
Oh yeah, he torched them.
Jeez.
He's just talented. He's fun to watch even.
I don't know.
Did you see the Bears defense on his touchdown?
Yeah.
It was like they were just standing around waiting for him to catch a touchdown.
Now, I don't know if it's me, guys, and I know a lot of you watch that Bears game. Have you watched an overmatching as bad as that? I mean,
no, it looked like a.
It was pretty
it
bad.
Like a college team.
Every facet of the game. It was like you take a college team and you play a pro team. It was bad.
The Eagles, I mean, to give them credit, they look really legitimate. Like, their defense is great, their offense is great. I mean, I think it's going to be tough for people to beat them to get to the Super Bowl. I think that they're probably my favorite to make it from the NFC.
I don't know. There's a lot of good teams.
And like Carson Wentz, I mean, as a young quarterback too, he really hasn't dropped at all.
This year is exciting to me because there are good teams in both divisions, and I think it's going to be a little bit harder than everybody thinks. Obviously, the Patriots in any year is going to be the favorite, but I mean the AFC with the Patriots and the Steelers, and I mean those are the two in there. But then you have the NFC where you have the Saints, the Rams, the Falcons are coming along. Who knows if the Panthers are going to be able to make it? And then you have the Eagles,
Vikings.
Vikings.
Yeah, you got some like teams that are legitimate that I mean, it's going to be a tough year. So for home field advantage is going to be really important, especially in the NFC East. NFC.
Yeah.
But
what else is interesting is that the Packers are still lingering and Rodgers could soon make his return. Maybe win the last couple of games, eke into the playoffs as a 6 seed, make some noise.
Yeah, I think this week is going to be a big week. In terms of if he's going to come back again, if the Packers can beat, I think they play Baltimore.
Tampa Bay,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
The Lions play Baltimore.
Yeah, so if the Lions lose to Baltimore and Green Bay can beat Tampa Bay, I think that kind of starts to open the door a little bit.
But the Vikings, I mean, they're going to have wild card, right? There's no way they're catching.
Oh, yeah. It's 100% the wild card. But the wild card.
But think about like the NFC South, because Carolina, the Falcons and Saints are all, you know, viable playoff teams right now.
Yeah, but
Seattle and the Rams,
you're right. So there's a lot of teams that could potentially, but they also have to play each other a lot. And why do I feel like the NFC South hasn't played each other that much right now?
The Falcons have only played one divisional game, right, so far?
I'm pretty sure like that's what it's like.
Well,
yeah, the Panthers have to play they have to play New Orleans one more time, and then the Panthers have a tough schedule. They actually play at New Orleans, at home against Minnesota, then at home against Green Bay, home with Tampa Bay, and then at Atlanta. And if Green Bay has Rodgers back, That's tough.
Right.
It's going to be tough. But anyway, back to the matchup, I guess. So.
Well, yes. One thing I want to say about this is we've kind of touched on it, but Sam Rapp seems to be pretty much eliminated from contention. Right now, he doesn't have Josh Gordon starting, but he's active, and I feel like why not just go for that glory play?
Heck yeah.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, yeah, I would if I was in his
over
position.
Over Moncrief against Jacksonville?
Yeah. I mean, really, it doesn't really matter. Any of those flex players, Tariq Cohen. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys think he's going to do anything?
Gordon?
Yeah.
He's never played sober, so we don't know how he plays sober.
Uh-huh. Isn't that crazy?
But the last time he came in for a shortened season, he didn't really do that much, did he?
I don't know. I remember him always having big numbers. I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah, I don't really remember, but I mean, here's the thing though. Like the Browns also, like Sam Rapp, don't have anything to lose. They're trying to lose, so it's like, why not just have DeShone Kizer go out there and just throw Hail Marys to Josh Gordon all game? Like, why not just have fun and like try to give the fans something? You know, like I don't see why they wouldn't try to test him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 2014 was his last year. He played 5 games. He had 24 receptions for 303 yards. Yeah. No touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's gonna be the problem is with Gordon is his quarterback play, and they're just not very competent at that position. So, but I would play him because why not?
Well, who was his quarterback when he had that giant couple years?
Well, wasn't on one of them McCown?
Maybe, probably.
McCown for part. I think for part of it was Whedon ever the quarterback then?
I mean, yeah, I remember him having shitty quarterbacks, and it didn't really matter.
No, but they weren't though. I mean, like you think about it, like Josh McCown he can put up numbers, and he has even this year.
Yeah.
No, it was McCown the year that he got hurt. The year that he got suspended. 2015.
Yeah. Okay, well...
I don't know, but...
It looks like it's Jason Campbell, Brandon Whedon, and briefly Brian Hoyer.
Hoyer, that's who it was, yeah, that I'm thinking about. But you know what, though? If I'm going to hold on to a guy as long as Rapp did, I'm playing him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Comes to it, so.
Might as well. All right. Anything else about this matchup that you guys want
to... Let's get going here. Let's go on to Kevin and Gunther's matchup.
Okay.
Kevin and Gunther.
So it's a must...
Fun one because, yeah, we talked about it. If Kevin loses, it opens the door for a ton of people.
This has got to be the lowest projected points for Gunther in a long time.
Yeah, low projections all around.
That's what happened. I thought his projection was really high last I checked.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Le'Veon Bell in there.
Yeah, he took out...
He does it?
Yeah.
So that'll change.
He weirdly...
What? He took out Kelsey, too. He's trying to do something here.
He's throwing the game.
Yeah, he is.
Why would he do that? He wants a second seed.
Well, yeah, but he's trying to get Kevin to win.
No.
Wow.
I would think it's more not this for Kevin to win. League. I think it's more.
I mean.
What benefit does he have?
I think Gunther's afraid of my team, so he's trying to get Kevin an easy win.
It's got to. Wow, you're right.
That's not why it is.
Gunther's throwing his game.
I mean, look at what he's doing.
He's got to be doing it to set himself up.
He took out Bell, Kelsey, Hill, and Baldwin.
Set himself up how?
And defense. Look at that defense. He's playing Minnesota D at Atlanta.
Because as a 2-seed, he would play. Either me or Mathis or Tyler.
I don't think he's doing it for himself. He doesn't
know who he's playing.
I think he's doing it to get Kevin in.
Really?
Wow. He's trying to keep me out of the playoffs.
That's fun.
That is...
I
gotta say, that is just uncool.
He's scared of me and Jared. That's it.
It'll be very interesting to see if... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this is how it stays. I mean, tomorrow's Thursday.
I mean, it's pretty clear what he's doing, right? Yeah,
he took out all
unless
of
he's trying to lose. Unless he's going to just do that for a second and then put them all back.
But why do
that? Things happen. Well, because we've seen people not play quarterback for a while, or John not play his entire team.
Well, but that was clear, though. It's like, you have to start people, but this is like, he just put in all his bench people.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, okay.
Hopefully Kevin scores very little points and Gunther still wins.
That'd be great.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I'm pretty right. shocked.
Well, that's funny that we just uncovered that. That's why we do this.
Yeah.
Looks like Kevin has his standard, hoping Kareem Hunt can get back on the saddle. Melvin Gordon against Cleveland, although Cleveland is decent against the run. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins at Dallas, he'll slay them, so that'll be good.
What's... Are we moving on?
I'm trying to get back on track.
Let's move on. Jared's mind is blown.
Alright.
Let's go to the classic David and Goliath matchup of Blake and John.
Perfect.
And like I said, I think I stand a chance here. My projection has gone up since this podcast has started.
Nice.
Yeah, that always happens. Sanu's going to throw another touchdown, probably.
That's what I think it's safe to like plan on
yeah.
that.
Actually, you know what's the crazy thing about Blake's starting running backs? I looked at this earlier today. Is so he has Gurley, Lynch, and he's also starting Freeman and Peterson, which are like four running backs, and they're wherever they are in their career. But can you imagine if you had every one of those running backs at their best season in fantasy?
Yeah. Oh my.
Well, Andy has Elliott on his bench.
I mean, yeah, we got to give it to Blake. He's had a great year. And if like we've said, if it all could have came together at the same time, he would have just walked away with this league. There was a long period of time where, I didn't think he was going to lose.
Yeah,
I had that thought too.
Yeah, and then he'll lose because fantasy's a cold-hearted bitch.
Yeah, I mean, terrible person, but having a good year. love you, Blake.
Yeah, this would be a fun matchup. It'd be nice to see you take him down, but
yeah, John, I actually think you'd have a pretty decent chance of winning too. I like your matchups.
You know, I've had some big names on this team. You know, Green and McCoy but Wentz, and if they could ever just all play together at the same time,
that's the thing. It's so annoying when they are just each taking a turn being great.
They take turns getting like 28.
Yeah.
Your freaking stud is Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that?
He's been incredible. Wide receiver 5.
You know, and you know what, though? Also, Hogan was killing it for me before he got hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, rough year. It'll probably be a rough week, but that way
You have one of the most talked about wide receivers on the planet right now in Zay Jones, as he can turn back the clock of time or whatever, rewind. Did you see that?
Like when he got off the ground.
That's the weird thing, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
that was weird. Yeah, that was really
weird. It's unexplainable.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I have to look that up.
Yeah, there's a video of him. Thriller move, dude, where it looks like they're literally rewinding it and it's not. That's him getting up.
Huh. Yeah, it is
a dance movie does?
No. He, like, fell after a touchdown and then, like, got up, but the way in which he gets up makes it look like he fell and they were rewinding it.
That's really what it looks like. It looks like real world rewinded.
And at regular speed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's strange, dude. Okay. You gotta check it out. Check it out. It's all over.
Okay, for sure.
Alright.
Yeah.
Alright.
Next matchup?
Should we move on? Brandon and the Redhead.
Yeah, 3-4 matchup here, big one. 2-7-5 teams.
Yeah, this will be a fun one, and honestly, it's just between who's going to be in third and who's going to be in fourth. So it's pretty cut and dry, actually. It's really nice. It's literally you don't have to worry about points, which you know so many people do right now. You just worry about who wins this matchup is going to be the 3 seed. Whoever loses is going to be the 4. It's super easy to figure out.
Right.
Look at all the cues.
I know.
In this matchup.
What?
I count seven.
What if everybody says the two teams? Everybody's gonna sit.
There's a quite a number of them. Not really worried about any of mine, to be honest. Maybe Clay. I just picked him up though. Hopkins was just like a non-contact punches. I don't, you know.
What about Collins?
That one's a weird one.
Kind of came
right?
out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, sorted. I guess Hopkins. Did anybody watch Houston's game against Baltimore, the Monday night game?
Yeah, most of it.
No.
Like Hopkins is almost unguardable unless you can you put a safety over him and then let those trips go.
Yeah.
Like Gruden just in that lineup, and I mean Hopkins just kept owning those guys. Like, and the thing about Hopkins is he had 124 yards of receiving. I think he had like 70 penalty yards against them.
Yeah.
Or it would have been even more because there are defensive holdings, which are only five. But I mean, the guy just. He's dominant.
It really speaks to just how bad Brock Osweiler is. That he couldn't get it done with him. Because Tom Savage looks like a serviceable quarterback with him.
Yeah, besides the turnovers, you're 100% right, yeah.
All right.
Hey, what else?
But yeah, I'll highlight this really quick about my matchup. I think you guys mentioned it last podcast. I have a couple guys that, you know, now with Crabtree out, it's not as much, but my bench is kind of, they're so close. I kind of have to make decisions week to week on who I'm going to play. I haven't made a decision yet that has been like so wrong that I hated it. I put Murray in late Thanksgiving week, so he scored serviceably for me. I put Funchess over Demaryius Thomas last week. That worked out really well for me. So I'm just hoping I make the right play again this week.
Man, I'd love to live in a world where I could put Jarvis Landry on my bench.
Yeah. Well, it's tough, and he might go back in. But
yeah. Well, Tlaib's out. I mean, that doesn't affect Landry, yeah. But it probably affects Denver defense overall.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Brandon, I see that you picked up Blake Bortles.
I did.
That's his glory play.
Are you planning on starting him?
It's going to be a week, just this week thing. He's sitting there for a second. There's about a 15% chance I play him. Reasons being is I have necessarily, I have nothing to lose meaning I'm already in the playoffs, and I kind of want to win this, and I'm not sure Derek Carr will have a great game if Cooper and Crabtree are out.
That's a good point.
So I'm waiting to see on Cooper, and then I'm going to throw Bortles in against Indy. Bortles has played well, I think, when this opponent isn't very good. When he was at home at Indy, he scored 20 points, so I'm just looking into that a little bit.
You did have 22 points last week.
Yeah, you did. So,
okay.
Alrighty. Well, let's go to the matchup that everyone is looking to.
The matchup of the week.
I mean, this is...
That Gunther's tanking his game.
I know. That upsets me just because I'm still in a win and in scenario. Basically, unless Kevin massively outscores me. But... if I lose and then Jared wins and Jared still doesn't get in, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. That's going to be frustrating. Especially if Gunther only puts up like 80 points and we see this studs on the bench putting up huge numbers.
Yeah, a lot. I know. Close projection for you guys. 105 point difference projected.
Yep.
I love Case Keenum, Sam.
Yeah, I'm staying in the flames there. Hoping you can. I think... that I will be very surprised if that Atlanta... it seems like both teams are really turning it up lately. So I'll be surprised if that's not a relatively high-scoring game. And I like the Keenum-Thielen stack.
Oh, yeah. The Vikings... Case Keenum and the Vikings are so interesting to me. They're 9-2. They're one of the... probably the second best record in the NFL right now. Maybe.
Yeah.
Who is there any 10 win teams?
Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like they're just not getting the love that some of the other teams are getting. But it's just, you know, and Case Keenum has been killing.
They've been winning by, I mean, they beat the shit out of the Rams. And the Rams are good.
Good, so, yeah.
They did.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sad that Devonta Freeman is back, but I still think Coleman is okay.
Yeah, Coleman's looked impressive.
Yeah, he'll get his.
Throwing Kenyon Drake right into the starting lineup.
That was kind of a necessity move. I didn't really have anything better on my bench this week. Maybe Powell at Kansas City, but with Forte playing, I don't really want to play Powell if I don't have to.
Perrine's been pretty good.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up and start Drake. Did you strategically put your bid in to know that you were going to tie me but win because you had the waiver position?
You know what's,
or was that luck?
You know what's funny? That was just luck. But I originally put in for 20, and I was like, well, okay, I had 6 on Keenum because I figured maybe someone will go 5 and I'll get it with 6. So I'm like, I put in 20 for Drake, and I'm like, well, I really need a start this week. So I'm like, fuck it. Let's just, I forgot what I got him for, 22 or 23.
21.
Yeah, so I had it at 20, and then I just upped it to 21 because I figured maybe someone would have put 20.
Because I had $21 left. I bid every dollar that I had.
Oh, that's awesome.
Funny.
You beat me with the tie.
Jared, if he's the difference maker, that will be...
That'd be incredible.
No Jared. Evan Engram without Eli, Jared?
Yeah, Engram's also played horribly the past couple of games. He's just dropping a lot of passes. He's been bad.
Yeah.
Jared, I don't think I've ever seen anything like what you have going on. Amongst your tight end and then your waiver spots and then your bench, you have 7 players that are projected 7 points. Obviously, there's a decimal in there. It's unbelievable. And to be honest, I would even consider Cooper Kupp being in that range too.
Yeah, why not?
So that's nuts. You got some decisions as well to make. I mean, maybe you already have made them, but.
No, I don't. I mean, I have a bunch of guys with questionable tags, so I'm just kind of waiting and seeing.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's more than likely going to come down to Monday night. I mean, the Gunther-Kevin matchup may already be decided by then, so I might not have a chance to make the playoffs anyway. But I'll have at least Brown going Monday night, and possibly Juju if he's healthy.
See, that's the one thing that game is going to depend on a lot. Because that, I thought about picking up Big Ben to like make Monday night a little more interesting and kind of neutralize those two guys if you end up playing Juju. Or at least, you know, like get 4 points of their 6 points for a touchdown. But I was like, I'd rather just go with Keenum. Because I just don't
know. Could be a lot of points.
Yeah, Big Ben on the road at Cincinnati is historically not a great matchup.
Right.
So.
Now, Sam, I have one question to ask you.
Yes.
I don't know your roster like you know your roster. Is Ertz the last player left from your original roster?
No, Coleman,
Thielen,
Coleman
right?
And Thielen are.
Okay.
And DJ, I guess.
And I was just saying, what a great guy for Ertz, you know.
I built my team around him.
Yeah, literally. Like the only, maybe the only tight end you could build your team around this year.
Yeah.
Is he the
top scoring tight end?
No, I think it's Kelsey.
Yeah.
But.
Either Kelsey or Gronk.
Consistency is there, though.
His lowest scoring week, well, it was week 11, he had 0.8, but other than that, his lowest scoring was 8.1.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
He's had around 10 pretty much every week, and then last week against Chicago, he had a big game. That's what annoys me, though. I feel like 3 or 4 times this year, he's gotten like 97 points, 99 points, or 99 yards, I mean. And I'm like, come on, just give me that bonus.
Oh, isn't that the worst?
Coleman did that to me last week, too. He had 97 and 2. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, it goes Kelsey, then it's Gronk after that big week, and then Ertz.
Yeah.
and then it's a significant drop down. Well, basically, it's 118, 115 with Kelce and Gronk, 106 for Ertz. Then it drops all the way down to 77 for Ingram, but there's Jimmy Graham in the middle with 94. But you're talking about a giant drop down.
Well, and I got him for almost nothing in the draft.
That's true, yeah. He was definitely a steal.
And you were the one bidding me up on him. I think I got him for $6.
I got Eifert. Ooh.
All right, you want to move on to the last segment, the betting corner?
Let's do it.
What do you got, Brandon?
All right, let's talk bets. And before I do this, I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Andrews. If you're listening, I hope that I can do a little bit better for you this week. So here we go. All right, I have only one over-under for you guys this week. I'm trying to stay away from those a little bit. I find out that I like overs too much. My bias goes into them. So, but there is one that I feel like is obvious. Sam Hayes touched on it a little bit, and that is the Seattle versus Eagles, Philadelphia. It's 47.5, the over. This game feels a lot like that Houston-Seattle game where you think Seattle's defense is going to show up, but really it's just a shootout, and Seattle's game plan is to score points. And the Eagles' game plan is to score points. This is the first like big matchup since the Eagles have really like put themselves on the map. They're going to be looking to win, and I just don't see this being a defensive game. Both teams we've seen put touchdowns up, and I think it's going to be the same. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of punts. There's going to be field goals and touchdowns.
I think it's a really smart game plan to plan to score touchdowns.
Yeah. I know. But you know what? We live in Chicago where John Fox just wants to keep the game close.
Yeah.
So, no. That's what I used to think is every NFL team went in with a game plan to score touchdowns, and I don't believe that anymore as I watch as much football as I do. I think some teams go in to literally try to keep the game close to the end and hope that they can pull a field goal out, which is sad and probably why the product is declining. But anyway, next game. Detroit plays at Baltimore. This is a must-win game for both teams. Both teams are in the wild card hunt. They're both sitting at 6-5. Both teams need a win. The Detroit just got beat by Minnesota. Baltimore just had that win against Houston we know of. So, you know, this is a toss-up here, but you get plus 2.5 for Detroit being on the road, plus 2.5. And I like Detroit in this game. Baltimore is good, but they're not great. They're better when they play in division or they play a team without a good quarterback like Tom Savage at Houston. I think Detroit takes this game and wins it, so I'm going to take the 2.5 points as well. And Detroit solidifies himself in a wild card spot for now. Another one I'm looking at is Green Bay at home over Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is actually favored in this game by 1.5. Which is bonkers to me because it's Fitzpatrick against Huntley. And Green Bay's shown some fight lately. I mean, they beat the Packers. The Packers beat the Bears, we know, as a disappointing loss at Chicago. And then they hung in there against the Steelers, too. So I'm looking for the Packers to win this game. They're kind of looking at Rodgers. He's throwing on the field before games, getting all amped up. Is he going to play again? Let's put ourselves in a position that he can play again. They're getting a little bit healthier. I like Green Bay at home against this one, and you get 1.5 points, so why not? Now, I usually do 3, but I liked one more here, and I liked all 4 of these a lot as I looked into them, so I'm going to do one more bonus one. Like I said, I gave a shout-out to Mr. Andrews. I want to give him a little bonus pick, too.
Ooh, bonus. Here.
Yeah, so... Now, usually, I would stay the heck away from Indianapolis, but they go on the road against Jacksonville, and the line is so big to me and inflated, I don't see it going this crazily. It's plus 9.5 for Indy, so it's a minus 9.5 Jacksonville favorite. Jacksonville is at home. I think Jacksonville is going to play really good defense. I highlighted a little bit that I think Bortles could play good, but... Ultimately, I just don't think Jacksonville has it all together to beat teams by 10 most of the time. Now, it's happened, I think, once or twice this year, but I just don't see it happening in this game. I want all those points. I don't think Indianapolis can pull this out, but I think Jacksonville only wins by 3-7, and I'll take the 9.5 and win that one for you, too. So, to recap, 47.5 over in the Seattle-Philadelphia game, plus 2.5 for Detroit over Baltimore, plus 1.5 for Green Bay over Tampa Bay, and plus 9.5 Indy over Jacksonville.
Okay, great stuff. See how many wins you can come up with this week.
Oh, 4. I'll answer that right away.
That that Baltimore at Detroit game, I think, is interesting. Last week we saw Stafford get a little bit injured, and we know that, you know, he can put up the yardage, but he can also throw picks. And you know, if they start sacking him and getting hits on the quarterback, it's going to be interesting. And it's Ravens at home. I think if they were playing in Detroit, it might be a little different. But that's I think it's going to be a good game. I'm hoping that it's a low-scoring game, but Marvin Jones gets 2 touchdowns, and that's the only scoring that
14-10.
Yeah, and that 10 is a defensive touchdown for the Ravens. Alrighty. Well, anything else, guys?
Glad to be on. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks for being
here. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Sean. This was great.
Yeah, it's the last week of the regular season. It's time to get her done.
Yeah, good luck, everybody out there.
All right. See you next week, everyone. We'll see how happy or sad we are.
Yeah.
Sad. Yes. It'll be sad.
Happy.
It'll
happy.
Be devastation for probably me and John.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Let's bring back Brandon's brag of the week, huh?
All right.
Hey, whenever you're ready. Already next week, maybe.
I'm putting that behind me. That's called karma.
Yeah, remember what happened last time we introduced that?
Oh, yeah. Losing season.
I love it.
Literally, that was my only losing season ever in fantasy and in this league, so.
I just got sadder and sadder week after week. Alrighty. Well, thank you, everyone, and we'll be back.
All rise for the Honorable Judge Andrews of the 69th Giggity Court, Circuit Court. Damn it!
It's okay, you have the first line.
First line, yeah. All right, here we go.
We're going to have a blooper reel.